Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. One of the things about Fallout that I find endlessly fascinating are the details about the way the world was back before the bombs dropped. For example, how similar was the world, was society, was American society to the way it is today? Are we actually getting closer to the way things were working or falling apart in Fallout's universe in our own world today? We have the advent of AI. We have the technology to make a lot of the kinds of things that you could find in that world. But we also have the overreach of governments and corporations that feel so powerful that they can get away with whatever they want, and they don't really even mind the fines if they even get fined at all for breaking the law. There are a lot of similarities, and there's good reason for that. We've discussed this a lot. The world of Fallout is based upon our own world, kind of extrapolated into a dystopian future, not just after the bombs drop, but before as well. And the thing about this is that looking at these pre-war businesses, as we've been doing for months now, continues to expand our understanding, my understanding, of just how far these limitations were pushed. Let's call it that. Today's episode, we're getting into Dyer Chemical and Dynamite Animation and a number of other companies. We're going to finish the D's most likely and get into the E's on this episode. So we're making our way through the alphabet. But I want you to pay very specific attention to the details in some of the things that are revealed about the way these companies work and what we can piece together on just the limited amount of information, the messages that are left, the holotapes, those types of things, as we've been doing. So this isn't a big surprise. This isn't a big change to the way we're doing this, but it is a trend that I want you to make a point to be aware of. So much of the feel of the way it must have been to live in 2076 or 2077 before the bombs dropped is explained in the way that these businesses were run and the kinds of things they did, the people they catered to, the products they made, and their interactions with the government. So let's get into it.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science.
So we're starting off with Dyer Chemical, and this is a company that you can come across. In fact, chances are if you've played any amount of time in Fallout 76, you've come across this location, and there are regular events that show up here as well, so you've probably been here a number of times. Before we get into the business practices and the relation to the government for this company, we have to just take a look at the logo at the top of the building. It says Dyer Chemical, of course, at the top, the name, but the slogan is the part that I find most interesting. Excellence is never an accident. That logo and that little tagline also are not an accident. Also, the chemical spills that this company has been creating, not an accident as well. There's evidence to show that these chemical spills dropped by this company were actually them dumping chemicals and then claiming it was an accident in order to try to cover their tracks a bit. But that's not the biggest thing that happened. In fact, that's not even the top two biggest things that happen at this company. Here, let me read you some of the mail in the terminals that you can find. Dated 2/10/75 to General C. Braxton, U.S. Army. That's right, the CEO of the company, Stanley Dyer, is writing back to a general in the U.S. Army. And this is what he has to say. General, while I'm extremely flattered that you've selected Dyer as your testing ground for the Army's, quote, Project Clean and Clear, I must regretfully decline your proposal. Modifying our existing infrastructure to accommodate that level of testing would cause a massive interruption in our production. We'd literally end up losing millions. Sorry, but you'll have to look elsewhere. Yes, this implies that the U.S. military and this General Braxton wrote to him specifically asking if, well, it turns out it's not asking, but requesting that they use their grounds for a Project Clean and Clear. Now, what is Project Clean and Clear? Project Clean and Clear is a military operation with the goal of testing how to restore water to a clean and usable state in the advent of nuclear war. So this is 2075, and the military is clearly concerned that nuclear war will happen, and they've contacted this company in order to use their facilities in order to figure out how to clean water. A very Fallout thing. So many of the Fallout games are designed around this question. How do you get clean water again after the bombs drop? Well, they were already looking into this, and the conversation continues. The general responded with an email the very next day to Stanley Dyer, CEO of Dyer Chemical. "Perhaps I wasn't direct in my last message, so let me make myself crystal clear. What I sent over wasn't a proposal. It was a direct order. Whether you like it or not, we'll be testing our formula at your facility. Now, if you want to resist that order, I'd be more than happy to replace every single person on your staff with robots. You have 3 months to prepare." Now, let that sink in. The U.S. military is taking over a privately owned and run chemical company in order to do their testing. And not because they've decided to offer them a deal, they're buying them out. No, they are overstepping the bounds that most people would be okay with in a democratically run capitalist society. He is basically saying, "You will use your money to do our research for us, and you have no options. And if you decide to push back, we will replace everybody who works here with robots." And so we get a response to General C. Braxton, U.S. Army. "You have absolutely no right to order me to do anything. Dyer Chemical is a privately owned company with no government affiliation, and I have never accepted a government contract. If you think you can just muscle your way into my building and threaten me or my staff, you're sorely mistaken. I'm well acquainted with our local senator. If you don't back off, I'll be giving him a call." And in this situation, that probably would have been a good thing to do, because that senator, the senator over the Appalachian Territory, was Sam Blackwell. Sam was very popular with the people. He ran on a platform of pro-union support. He got 73% of the popular vote and was the kind of person who would be on the side of a local business against the military intruding and taking over. He's also somebody who was important with the formation of the Free States movement. This sounds exactly like the kind of situation that somebody like Senator Blackwell would have taken up in order to show his support of local business and his support of, well, not being bossed around by the national government. So we get a response to Stanley Dyer, CEO, from General Braxton. "Listen, you little bastard, you may not be government, but your little company just so happens to be located right in the center of the United States of America. You know all that freedom you enjoy running your business and making all that money? Well, that's thanks to people like me who keep the damn commies from picking our country apart like a bunch of vultures eating roadkill. When the U.S. Army asks for help, you help. End of story." And the story goes on. He writes back to General Braxton the very next day. "Name-calling isn't going to sway me, General. Your soldiers are not setting a foot inside this facility. That's final. You should be hearing from your superiors soon." And an immediate response, same exact day, from the general. "I heard from my superiors. You know who else I heard from? How about the mole we've had in your company for the last year? He told me some very interesting things about your waste disposal habits and your so-called accidental spills that aren't accidental at all. He also included some very telling photographs that I'm looking at right now. Maybe I should be a patriot and forward this information to the press, or maybe you'll take my proposal more seriously." The very next day, the CEO responds, "Understood. I'll begin having my people make the necessary modifications as requested. We'll be ready to receive your Project Clean and Clear materials in 3 months." Clearly, the government knew what was going on. They knew how shady the company was, and that did not work in their benefit. The government was able to leverage this information into forcing them to participate in Project Clean and Clear. And that's not the only place this project comes up. The one other place I can find is on a terminal entry in the Riley Clay Bunker. It seems that the conditions in the mire had been extremely bad and people were working to clean them out. And there's a terminal entry explaining what should be done in future events similar to this. It says, "The glowing swamp." So irradiated swamp is probably what that means. "To all, we recently survived the worst conditions the mire has ever seen. The following is documentation on steps to take should this happen again. 1. Crevasse dam. Crank the turbine to max flow to flush the river. 2. Dyer chem. Follow instructions on their operation clean and clear and flush it into the river to absorb the radiation. 3. Kill any and all glowing creatures you see." Now, this seems to show that these are things that were happening to the mire after the bombs dropped, radiation was high, they were having to deal with glowing creatures in a glowing swamp. But it seems to imply that using instructions from Operation Clean and Clear to flush the river to absorb radiation would actually work. So the unstated question here is, what happens with Operation Clean and Clear? Is it a success? Well, it is a government operation, and we don't have any other released documentation about it. But this seems to imply that there was some success here. The other thing we know about Dyer Chemical is that there are robots at this location that are still functional. So I would assume some percentage of the human population who was working at the plant was replaced by robots, either because there was still some conflict between the CEO and the general, or the actual operation required it. It required robots to be able to do things that humans couldn't do. Or something in between. Maybe people left. Maybe they realized that this was no longer safe. Maybe they didn't want to be working for the government. Or maybe the government wasn't actually paying them very well. The company was losing money and had to let those people go. It could have been a number of things. But there is one more story here about Dyer Chemical. A woman named Lucy Harwick became the leader of a group of ghoulified people who still maintained their rationality. They were regular humans, other than the fact that they were experiencing ghoulification, and eventually migrated to Dyer Chemical. In the pre-war times, she worked as an esthetician, and she was in the Harper's Ferry area when the bombs dropped. She worked with the Free States, and she provided medical services to the population. She ended up taking care of a boy named Daniel Whitby, who suffered radiation exposure, and it turned him into a ghoul. But she realized that he wasn't a monster. He wasn't a zombie, mindless kind of ghoul. He was still a person. But people started treating him differently. Eventually, they could no longer stay in Harper's Ferry because there were too many mindless ghouls who were attacking that location, and they had to leave. Now, eventually, she became a ghoul as well. She referred to them as the changed, not ghouls. They weren't using that phrase yet. But she realized that she and Daniel were not the only ones who were experiencing this problem, and that they were not losing their minds. There must be others out there. So she created a home at Valley Galleria, which you can still go to in 76, and she invited people over in order to try to take care of each other, in order to unite. This was one of the earliest groups of ghoulified people organizing in the United States that we know about. But unfortunately, some of the same hunting parties that were defending Harper's Ferry started coming after her and her friends, thinking that they were dangerous ghouls, just like the ones that had been attacking Harper's Ferry. So she decided to leave. And looking for a new, safer location, she found Dyer Chemical and the underground section of it where she could reinforce and basically section off her people from other dangerous humans in the wasteland who would hunt her down. So what remains of her and her group? Well, you can find her corpse in the sewers under Dyer Chemical. And you can find notes all over explaining what's going on and inviting people to come join her, well, ghoulified people who need safety and friends.
"To anyone who will listen, my name is Lucy Harwick, and I'm here with many others just like me. We may look like those mindless things we call ghouls, but we're not. We're still people, real people with thoughts and feelings and all those other things that make us all human."
So in short, The remains of a chemical company run by a corrupt CEO who was poisoning the wasteland was taken over by the United States Army in order to try to determine how to clean water should the bombs drop. And then after the bombs dropped, it was run by robots and became a place for ghoulified human beings to find shelter until, well, they were no longer safe. That's right. In the end, Lucy and her people were killed by Duncan McCann, the man who was leading the hunting parties at Harper's Ferry. They found them and they killed them. So there you go. Dyer Chemical. Excellence is never an accident. You know how sometimes you look in the mirror and you think, if only I could lose that extra weight. And you've been trying and trying. Well, have you considered weight loss by Hims? It's designed to support losing weight and keeping it off, and they now offer an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, and in combination with both a better diet and exercise, you can lose 20% more weight. And you can get it easily with Hims. Everything happens online. They connect you to a licensed provider who will determine if this is the right treatment for you. Then, if prescribed, they'll ship it to you right to your door. No insurance necessary. And on top of that, they support you beyond just selling you the thing. They'll support you with messaging from their care team. There's also an in-app lifestyle and nutrition support that includes recipes and meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content. Simply put, they will dial in exactly what you need in order to reach your goals. So if you're ready to reach your goals, visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit hims.com. So I walked into a major retailer the other day looking for some new clothes, and I couldn't find anything. And on top of that, the prices are not great. Bad selection, too expensive, and poor quality means that I've been looking other places. And you've heard me talk about Quince, so I went back to Quince. I was looking for some shorts. I found some European linen shorts for $34. And let me tell you, these were the perfect things to buy for the warm weather we have lately. It is getting hot out there, and these shorts are keeping me not only cool, but fashionable. So cool in two ways, I guess. So why would I go back to a major retailer when I can get a much better product at a great price? Plus, Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen. You are getting the best thing for the best price. So refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/falloutlore for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/falloutlore. So media companies in the Fallout universe pull a lot of inspiration from our own different types of media companies, whether it's comics and Marvel and DC, or it's cartoons like Looney Tunes or Merry Melodies or Disney. So if you've played Fallout 76 over the years, you might be familiar with Armor Ace, the sort of G.I. Joe inspired animated cartoon thing that they used in some of their seasonal reward things, like the board game. We used to have a board game where you'd go around and go to different places. And this was part of the March for Freedom and all of that. Well, what is Armor Ace and Power Patrol? Well, they are a cartoon developed by Dynamite Animation Company. Armor Ace and the Power Patrol was originally a cartoon that aired on television, much like G.I. Joe, and it was all about the ideal American hero. They have friends too, Platinum and Brickhouse and the Power Patrol, which is part of the name. And of course, they used power armor and they went up against villains like the Red Vipers and the Subjugator, Secretary of Oppression, leader of the Red Vipers. And the communist symbolism here is not an accident. They are the American group who was pro-capitalist, pro-democracy against the evil red commies. There was even an event where they went to the Yukon territories to defeat the Yukon 5 robot uprising. This was part of the Cold Steel season and seems to have some connections to America taking over, liberating Canada. And what's so great about all of this, well, wonderful to discover, terrifying in the real world, is that this is representation of propaganda. We just talked about a chemical company being taken over by the army in order to do its research for them. This is a company, Dynamite Animation Company, that is making clearly propaganda. Now, sure, you could look back in the 1980s and say, well, was G.I. Joe propaganda for Americans? And on some level it was, but you could probably also make the argument that, well, that was just what America was like in the 1980s. This pro-American, pro-democracy, pro-capitalist, under Reagan kind of mentality. And so they were just building off of that. G.I. Joe was very much a children's version of something like Rambo or Commando. Those types of movies that were all about Americans fighting for freedom and all of that sort of thing. But you could make the argument either way, that that was propaganda or not. But this feels even more like propaganda. It's not just the Americans fighting the communist menace, which was very much part of like G.I. Joe, but also annexing Canada and justifying that as a robot uprising. So you can clearly see there was influence in and around every type of media to control the thoughts of the population. And it started with children. And that makes me feel pretty gross. So we'll just leave that there. Dynamite Animation Company.
Oh, I don't know anything, mister. I just think it. And then I don't.
And with that, we've made our way into the E's. The very first E-named company is Eckart Unlimited. This one's interesting because this is cut content. So if it doesn't sound familiar to you from playing lots of Fallout 76, there's a reason for that. There is only one reference and it was removed from the game. So we can't say that this is absolutely canon lore, but it is something the developers created and considered putting into the game. If you go to the White Springs bunker, you can find this terminal entry. Accessing archival entry. Eckart renounces citizenship by Rita Haggerty. Joseph Eckart, prominent New York businessman and founder of Eckart Unlimited, has publicly renounced his U.S. citizenship, taking an oath of loyalty to the Chinese Communist Party, according to Chinese state sources, stating that, quote, "I can no longer watch as capitalism grinds good men and women to dust." Eckart went on to say that the proceeds from the recent liquidation of Eckart Unlimited, once one of New York's finest growing shipping and manufacturing houses, would be distributed to workers' advocacy programs across the globe. There has been no word if Eckart's three children, Julia, 21, Joseph Jr., 18, and Thomas, 16, will be joining their father abroad or attempting to carve out a life for themselves here in the United States. End entry. Okay, so first of all, why would this be at the White Springs bunker? Well, we know the White Springs bunker was Enclave, and the Enclave were monitoring all sorts of news about things like this. Also, Eckart Unlimited seems to have been one of the largest companies for shipping that existed in the United States. So somebody like Joseph Eckart deciding to renounce his U.S. citizenship and join the Communist Party of China would have been troubling news for the Enclave, for the powers that were trying to pull the strings underneath American society. Because many of those people were probably his peers, other CEOs and companies, people who worked for the government. And that makes me wonder other questions. Was Joseph Eckart part of something bigger than just Eckart Unlimited? Did he have connections to people who were in the Enclave and that's why this news would have been important? Was he planning to reveal something to the communists and they thought he was a problem and they decided that they would have to take care of that? Now, as is often the case with cut content in games, this probably wasn't just a one-off thing all by itself. Why cut this out if it was just a thing you could read in a computer terminal entry? This probably had something to do with a much larger story, a larger questline, more information, more details that would have been revealed somewhere else, a name drop of Joseph Eckhart in a different quest line or terminal entry or related to some other business or the government. And they decided to pull back on that. Maybe they were cutting quests. And so this was a piece of that quest content that had made it into the game that they decided no longer made sense with that. And so they pulled it back. It's probably something like that. But it does make you wonder, was Joseph the only person who was leaving the United States in order to join communist China? How many other companies and important business people had already done that? How much information did China have from them? Or was there an actual Chinese operation running in order to sway over powerful business leaders in the United States to their cause? I wouldn't doubt that something like that wasn't an operation. They were doing a whole lot of covert operations in the United States that we do know about. So something like that could totally be possible. But unfortunately, there's no other information about this. So unless this resurfaces in a future update or future game, then we may never know. Next up on our list, we're getting more into the E's, Egret Tours. This is a business that shows up in Fallout 4. And let me read you some of the terminal entries that we have about this. This is from somebody named Phyllis. Egret Tours, exploring the Charles River since 2042. User Phyllis Daly signed in, personal logs. Had to leave. I left the others 3 days ago. Had to get away. It wasn't safe for them. Wes tried to wake me up from one of the nightmares, the one where the metal rad roaches climb under my nails and scurry up through the skin into my brain. Before I knew what was going on, I had a gun to his throat. They tackled me before I could do it and said it wasn't my fault. But the looks they had when I said he was wearing my face told me it was time to leave. Nothing left for me there, and I don't want to hurt anyone else. Next entry, the field. Can't sleep. More nightmares. I'm in the watchtower looking out over the field in the night. It's raining and I see a lantern in the field. Must be raiders out in the corn. I sight down the scope and see one of those machine men. It has him by the wrist, dragging him off. I take the shot. It's clean. The machine man falls to the ground. Running through the field to him, I can smell the corn and the rain, but when I get there, it's him on the ground bleeding and the machine is gone. I look back up to the tower and see myself standing there, looking down the scope. I dive into the corn as the shot rings out and start to smell blood and oil. Reaching for the gun on the ground, and the metal skeletal hand isn't my own. I look down in the puddles of rain and blood and oil at my reflection and see my face start to tear in shreds as my metal hands rip it away. I have a feeling you're putting this together now. Let's read the next one. Samuel. I tried again to end it. I was out on the wharf trying to look through the fueling station when I glanced at the water. He was there in the reflection, my grandson Samuel, and my arm was around him. Then there was a noise and my reflection's eyes glow red, and when it opens its mouth, there is static. Then the static turns into a scream and it puts the gun to Samuel's head and pulled the trigger. I can still feel some water in my lungs, but their programming won't let me end it. My body climbed to the shore on its own. Oh, and there's one more entry. Tour schedule. Tour hours. Hour-long tours are available starting at 8 a.m. and running every 2 hours till 4 p.m. Daily fishing tours are available and it starts to degrade and it becomes corrupted and falls apart. There's also some information about a safe and some other stuff, but the most interesting parts are these parts about Phyllis Daly. And that's all we get. Egret Tours is a company that, as far as we can tell, ran river tours starting in 2042. They operated a marina with boats on the Charles River in Massachusetts. Tours went for about an hour long. And then we get these terminal entries by Phyllis. Now, that raises some questions. Now, we do get to meet Phyllis in the game. She's a Commonwealth settler, and Samuel, as mentioned in those logs, is her grandson. And, well, it seems that she may have actually killed him with her own gun in something very similar to what is documented in that terminal entry. And so that makes her start wondering if she is a synth. and you meet her at Egret Tor's marina. But the question remains, was she somebody who existed in the pre-war and her memory was taken and implanted in a synth? And so maybe she was somebody who worked at this location, or she just happened upon the location and is a synth, but maybe is not connected to the mind of somebody previous, like Nick Valentine was. And she believes that she has a grandson, but she was actually a person who was replaced with a synth. And so that Phyllis no longer exists at all. And so it's not like a brain from 200 years ago or a mind from 200 years ago being implanted in a synth, but it was just a person replaced. Maybe that's it. That's probably more likely. But what does the location have to do with it? And why is she entering information into the terminal? Maybe it's just a convenient place to put down her thoughts. That could be it. Or maybe she's just a crazy person. If you kill her, she does not drop a synth component. Now, there are some more details here. You can have lots of conversations. You can have different responses to her questions and answers. Your companions will react differently to her. There's a lot more here that I didn't really plan to go into on this episode. So maybe I'll put this on a list of potential synths, then we can kind of come back around to discuss each of these in the future. So that's just my speculation with kind of a brief look at this character while doing research for the businesses themselves. But if you have some more insight about this, feel free to leave a comment. You may have knowledge or information or remember something from the game that I'm just not remembering right now. So that would be helpful as well. But let me know your thoughts on that. What's going on with that? Also, Egret Tors is named after an egret, which is a water bird, so that makes sense for touring the river. So there you go. Egret Tors.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
Patrons, we have a patron chat coming up this coming week on Wednesday. What is the date? Wednesday the 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you would like to join me, then just make sure that you're available. If you're already one of our Sentry Bots or Assaultron tier patrons, you guys can join me, of course. And if you haven't signed up at those levels and you'd like to join us for the chat, it's always a great time. People are already discussing on the Discord potential ideas for this episode. So check that out on the Patreon, patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Also, you can just sign up at one of the other tiers if you want to help support the show, get ad-free episodes, all that stuff. You know how that works. Also, shout-outs to our Sentry Bots, Germinator, the Main Monkey, and Ira Moody. Thank you so much for your continued support. Also, if you'd like to help out in other ways, share the show with a friend or leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read those out on future episodes. Or you can just leave a very nice comment somewhere, rate the show on whatever platform you listen to this on, 5 stars. All of that is super helpful. And I couldn't do it without all of you. So thank you for being here. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. And don't stress out. The world is not getting closer to... No, the world is. We're getting closer to Fallout. It's happening. But hug your friends and your family and have a good week. Stay safe. See you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.